Well, I'd like to add my welcome to everyone who's come along tonight. It's great to see you. Thanks, Mark, for the question, what does it mean to be born again? Now, tonight I'm going to read from John chapter 14 and just one verse there, verse 6. Last night I mentioned that I would let you know tonight what the offer for the kids was going to be this week. So I've decided that those of you who are 10 and under. And if you can, at the end of next week, when I ask you, or if you come to me and say, yes, I know what all these natural disasters mean, like we've had two of them so far. We had famine. We had earthquake. And we're going to have a few more. Tonight's not a natural disaster. It's going to be a disaster, but not from the hand of God. And so if you can come to me next Friday night and say, I know them, then I'm going to have a $5 McDonald's gift certificate. And so, worthwhile. John chapter 14 and verse 6. And for those of you who are over 10, well, too bad. Glad you're here anyways. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Tonight I am going to talk about a train wreck. So it's not a natural disaster, but it's a disaster. The greatest train disaster in Canadian history. But before I get into that, I was just thinking of how that a lot of people are fascinated by trains and with trains. Little kids, sometimes you get a little set at Christmas time or your birthday and you can't wait to open the box and set up the track on the table, and dad gets the locomotive put on there and maybe a car or two on behind it, and the batteries are in there, and you hit the button and the train goes around, and you know, little kids are fascinated by trains. And I've come to realize that big kids are fascinated by trains too. In fact, there's at least two of them in the meeting tonight. One of them, his first name starts with M, and the next one, his first name starts with R. There might be more of them, but yeah, I mean, they spend their thousands. And I've been with them on some road trips, and, oh, look at that, there's an orange one. Okay, guys, don't get too excited. Oh, there's a red one, and, oh, that's a great north. And they get so excited when they see a train. Well, you know what, it's good to be enthusiastic people. I was interested to find out that the longest train trip that you can ever take is from Portugal to Vietnam. 17,000 kilometers. And no, I don't have it on my bucket list. The fastest train, I understand, is over in Japan. They're called the Bullets. They go between cities over there really fast, and that's why they're called the Bullet. The fastest one, and I don't know that this one is running daily, but the fastest one they've had is 600 kilometers an hour. The average is more like 350, 400 kilometers an hour. Like, you could beat a Winnipeg like in 10 minutes. That'd be pretty awesome. The longest train, I always thought the longest train always came through Portage. But I found out that they don't. The longest train actually comes from a place that I don't know if anybody in the meeting here tonight will know, I've ever heard of it. It's a place called Australia. Anybody from Australia in the meeting here tonight? Welcome to the Barber family. They've come all the way from Australia. I don't think they came all the way just for the meeting here tonight. And they didn't come on the train either. But the longest train, they say, is in Australia. And it carries iron ore from a certain spot to a port, Headland or Headley, whatever it is. I don't know my Australian geography very good. And it had 682 cars, the very longest one. carried 82,000 tons of ore, had 8 engines, and was 7.3 kilometers long. And congratulations to Australia, you take first prize in the longest train that's ever been put together. Tonight, though, I want to talk about a great train disaster that took place in the province of Quebec back on June the 29th, 1864. A train used to run between Quebec City and Montreal, and about 1:20, one particular morning, it came to a premature end. Normally, when these trains would approach this particular river, the river that had a swing bridge, the bridge would go up because it was allowing the boats to go underneath in the river. And then before the train would come, the bridge would go down and the train could go across the river, called a drawbridge, called a swing bridge. And this one had a red light or a green light. So if the light was green, the guy that's driving the train, he could see it and he would just stay going. He'd know that the bridge was down. If the light was red, he would know that he had to come to a stop because the bridge was still up. Well, this particular night, as he steamed along towards Montreal, he never noticed that the light was red. And unfortunately, the train that was carrying about 400 people, 450 people maybe on it, finally went over the edge of the track down into the river. Fortunately, though, only about 100 people were killed. I mean, unfortunate for every one of them, but it could have been more. The greatest train wreck in Canadian history was caused by human error, they said. The engineer failed to stop when he saw the red light. I couldn't help but think of the relevance between that story and our meeting tonight and the importance of noticing red lights and stop signs in our lives. Every one of us are traveling life's railway. We're traveling through life and we've already been singing, passing onward, quickly passing, where are you going? We sang at the start, eternity, time soon will end. Its fleeting moments pass away. And every one of us are traveling through life. And we can liken it to everybody being on a train, a big, long train. And some of us die younger than others. And when we die, we get off of our train. We're at the end of the track. And we enter into the great eternity. And the big question left for every one of us is, where am I going to be 5 minutes after I die? And so because of these red lights that we had on the tracks decades ago, you could ask the question, well, why is it important to have a stop sign? Why is it important to have a red light? You know, sometimes we just think, we wish the lights were green all the time. Can you imagine going through a green, if everybody had green lights all the time coming from all directions? It'd be chaotic. There'd be accidents. There'd be deaths at our intersections. And the red lights are there to keep us safe, to put order into our highways and our streets, to tell us it's time to stop, hit the brakes, take a break, because there's danger that's crossing your pathway. And I can't help but think of the danger that lies ahead of every person that's in our meeting tonight. The danger of being wrong when you get to the end of life. The danger of not getting to heaven when life is all done. The danger of finding yourself in the place that's down instead of the place that's up. The place that finds you away from God's blessings for all eternity, instead of enjoying the golden street where there is no more sorrow, there's no more sadness, there's no more sickness, no more pain, no more night. What a wonderful place. And the great danger is, as people are steamrolling through life, just like the train there in Quebec back in 1864, passing right through the red lights, not knowing that there's danger ahead. But friend, I want to just tell you, there's danger ahead. Oh, there's a lot of blessing for the Christian. It's called the Christian's hope, not something we wish for or hope for, but it's the assurance that we have of knowing when life is all done, we're going to be with God, we're going to be with the Lord Jesus forever and forever. And so there's a lot of Christians, and they actually can't wait to die. They say, it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. I'm going to say goodbye to earth, and I'm going to say goodbye to all its sorrows and pains and tears, and I'm going to be with the Lord forever and ever. Isn't it going to be a wonderful thing, Christians? And yet for those who are not saved, the dangers that are lying ahead, we want to put up the red stoplight tonight. Don't blow through it. The danger of getting to the end of life not saved and losing your soul and going down to hell and eventually to the lake of fire forever and forever. The truth that is presented from God's word. We would not be faithful. We would not be true friends. We would not be honest. I would not be if I stood here in my portion of the meeting tonight and said, everything is good. Let's turn the light to green. Let's just everybody just blow right through life. Everything is going to be great. It's not the case. There's danger ahead. That's why there's stoplights. I want to look at another question associated with the dangers and with the traveling through life. And it's, well, what are some of these dangers? And we can learn some of these dangers as we think of some of the roads that we're traveling on. For example, in Ephesians chapter 2, we read of people, everyone who's dead in their trespasses and sins, they're walking according to the course or according to the road, according to the street of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And they are by nature the children of wrath or the children of disobedience. And so everybody that's not saved is walking on the road of disobedience to God. That's why there's a stoplight. At the end of a life of disobedience, there's God's punishment, there's God's judgment. Says 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17, what shall the end be of those that obey not the gospel of God? So disobedience is something that God treats very seriously. So every time you say a word you shouldn't say, it's disobedience. It's sin. Every time you do something you shouldn't do that your mom has asked you not to do, or a teacher, somebody that God has placed in authority over top of you, every time you don't do what that person asks you to do, it's disobedience. It's called sin. And that's why there's danger at the end of the road of disobedience. Every day that you live not saved is a day of disobedience on your record before God. You might think, well, I'm a pretty good person and I don't do the things that other people do, and maybe you don't. But if you're not saved tonight, every day that you live is one more day in your history, one more day in your life that you're living not obeying the gospel. You're living disobeying the gospel. You're walking the road of disobedience. And so we want to put up the stop sign tonight. Stop! There's danger at the end of the road of disobedience when God judges every sin. There's another road we read of in Proverbs chapter 14. For what shall... It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judge... There's a road that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The highway of deception. It's a road that seems so right, but it ends in death. I think of that train back in Quebec, not obeying the red light. The engineer driving along, maybe checking the stars outside or the moonlit night, thinking all is well. The passengers on board the train, some of them sleeping, some of them maybe stirring a little, thinking, I wonder what time we're going to get into Montreal. But thinking everything is good. The railroad track of deception, not knowing that just a half a mile ahead, and then a quarter of a mile ahead, and then just a couple hundred yards ahead, and then 20 yards ahead, and then bang, that's it. Seemed right. Seemed good. It seemed to be the right train to be on. I think of people in a spiritual sense. There's a road that seems right. Oh, my church makes me feel so good. And you know, I get to sing in the choir, and that makes me feel even better. And you know, I'm really faithful at everything I do. And my children, they're just examples wherever they go. They're better than all the other kids. And we start to look at ourselves and we take a lot of pride and a lot of comfort, knowing that I think I'm doing good. I feel so good. You know, people today, they go on feelings, don't they? Feelings are very dangerous. You need to go according to the Word of God. The Word of God is fact. And the fact of this verse is, there's a road that seems right. That's the feelings. But the fact is, it ends in death. Then there's another road we read of in Matthew chapter 7. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. The great corridor of destruction and death. And that's why we need to put up the stop sign. Turn the light to red. Folks, stop. Don't go any further. There's danger ahead. And if you continue on the road without having entered through the narrow gate, the straight gate as Jesus talked about, which is himself, that leads to life, your road is not only going to lead to danger and death, your road is going to end in death. Such a sad thing to be traveling on such a train that's going to end in destruction and death. And that's why tonight, as we speak the gospel, we want to just turn the light to red and get everyone to stop. Stop and think. Consider your latter end. Stop and ask yourself the question, the road that I'm traveling on, the life that I'm living, has there ever been the time in my life when I accepted Jesus Christ to be my Savior? Has there been a time when I've been born again? Has there been the time when I realized that Jesus died for me? And if there hasn't been that time in your life when you've accepted Jesus to be your Savior, then you're still traveling on a road that's not only a dangerous road, but a road that's going to end in death. Stop! Please, tonight, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. We could ask the question, where should we put up the stoplights? Well, everywhere there's danger would be an obvious answer. We need to put up the stoplights at the bar. As people are going into the bar, stop! This is going to be a dangerous lifestyle. It's going to destroy yourself. It's going to destroy your home. It's going to destroy your marriage. It's going to destroy your family. Stop! We need to put up a sign, a stop sign like this outside the banks. Maybe as people walk in with their thousands to put it into their accounts. Stop! This money might help you get through life, but it won't do you any good in eternity. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Maybe we need to put up the stop sign at the bike shops. I remember when I was 16, bought a bike here from Main Street, a little ways north, I forget the name of it. Really hot Kawasaki 350. It was a great bike. But you know, every teenager's dream and every mother's nightmare when their teenage son gets a bike. But we need to put up a stop sign. Stop! You might be able to race the strip and race through life on this hot bike, but it'll never get you into God's eternity and God's heaven on a safe note. Do you know where I'd like to put up a stoplight tonight, a red stoplight? I'd like to put it up at the end of every row here tonight, on which is seated somebody that's not saved. And as you get up to leave at the end of the meeting in a few minutes, and you make your way along the bench, you see the red light at the end of the bench that says, stop! Don't go home without Christ. Don't leave the building without salvation. Get off the road that's going to death. Get on the road that leads to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I hope every person, if you're not saved tonight, will stop. I want to tell you about another train. This train was in Mexico. 1907, I think it was. In a little town in the northwest of Mexico, maybe about an hour and a half from Hermosillo, where some of you have been. A little mining town. And there's a train that had stopped in town. And the engineer, the guy driving the train, he was out of the train as the train was stopped for a while. And he noticed on the top of one of the cars where they had some hay that those bales were starting to burn. The hay was starting to burn. Unfortunately, he knew that his cargo on those train cars was mostly dynamite. So he jumped onto his train really quick. He put it into reverse and he put the throttle right forward, and the train started going backwards and down the hill. He knew he had to get the train out of town, or else it was going to explode and the whole town was going to go up. And as Jesus Garcia Corona was driving that train out of town, got a few kilometers out of town, and the fire hit the dynamite, one stick after the other, and the train exploded in a huge ball of fire. And at 25 years of age, Jesus Garcia Corona lost his life. But what a great hero. He saved a town. And today in Mexico, there's streets and there's stadiums and there's statues, and they're named after Jesus Garcia Corona. And on November the 7th, the date of this particular accident, the date of his death, is the annual Day of the Railroader in Mexico, where they salute all those guys and women who are working on the railroad for the good job they're doing. I think of another Jesus. We pronounce the name Jesus. Not just another one. The only one that's the rightful Jesus, who will save his people from their sins. We call him the Prince of Peace. He's called God's Son. He's called the Christ. He's called the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on a cross one day. He wasn't 25, he was 33. He didn't die to save a town. He died to save a world. He died to save you. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And so that afternoon, nearly 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ died upon a cross. My sins, and I want to look at it from a personal standpoint, my sins were placed upon the Lord Jesus. And when God up in heaven saw my sins upon His Son, the wrath of God, the anger of God against sin fell from heaven, and it fell upon His Son, because He was the one that was bearing the sin and the sins. And I can look at the Lord Jesus and say, yes, He was bearing my sins. That's why I say He's the only Jesus. He's the only one that's worthy of your trust. And when He died after a few hours of suffering, just before He died, He cried, "It is finished." And 3 days later, after dying, He was raised from the dead. And so we've got a living Jesus, a living Jesus tonight, who died for our sins, and He rose again to be your Savior. And guess what? The light is green. And you can safely go through on the train that the Lord Jesus wants to take you to heaven on. The salvation train that we sing about with the children. But you'll never be on that train unless you accept Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Maybe tonight you will. He said, "I am the way." Instead of the way of disobedience, He wants you to obey the gospel and accept Him. He said, "I am the truth." Instead of the way of deception where people don't know. Oh, that you might look into the truth of the Word of God tonight. Listen again to the words of the Lord Jesus. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He says, "I am the life." And so He offers the train ride of salvation to heaven that will never end in death. Light is green. The Lord Jesus wants you to accept Him as your Savior tonight. But if you're not saved, the light is red. Stop. Don't leave your role. Don't go home the way you are. Why not accept the Lord Jesus? "No man comes unto the Father but by me." And He could have also said, "Everyone that comes to me will go to the Father." "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I'd mentioned on November the 7th was National Railroad Day, where people in Mexico remember Jesus Garcia Corona. And the little town that the train was in bears his name today. And right across Mexico, they know the name Jesus Garcia Corona. And one day a year, they remember the most heroic railroad guy in their history. And those of us who are Christians, we don't remember our hero on November the 7th, on Garcia Corona Day, Railroad Day. We remember the Lord Jesus on the Lord's Day, the first day of every week. Those of us who are saved, we gather to say thank you to the Lord Jesus for dying for us. And if you're not saved tonight, you take the Lord Jesus to be your Savior. Believe on Him and you'll be saved. If you are saved and you don't remember the Lord Jesus, our Savior, on the Lord's Day, try and do it this Lord's Day. Do what you can to be an obedient Christian. That's what God wants from your life. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father."